Thank you, Sally, for the blessing. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing well this morning. Take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Be praying. I know that the prayer chain has been busy, and so it's good to see several of you that have been on that prayer chain here today. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. And we pray that there's others that aren't able to be here this morning. I pray the Lord will lift them up this week as we all enter in prayer. And I thank the Phillips Lord for commanding that prayer chain. It's a so vital part of the church. It's always good to know that no matter what happens, we have the family of God praying for us. Amen? Well, the words, the wonderful words of life. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about words that we speak. And I hope it's something that'll encourage you. I want to encourage you, but sometimes we get into things we need to be encouraged, and God has a way of encouraging us. And I want you to be able to face this next Monday morning, tomorrow morning, with more courage than you had this morning. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, this isn't our text, but it says, "For the word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts." That's the biblical definition of the word being active in your life. Is the word of God living and powerful and sharper than a sword, piercing the soul and the spirit to the very joints and marrow of your heart this morning? Are they? Is that happening in your life? Discerning your thoughts and your intents. God, this morning, when I preach this message, He is preaching it to me. I want you to know that. The Amplified Bible says the word of God speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active. The Word of God is full of power. Do you really believe that this morning? It goes on to say it is active, it's operative, it's energizing, and it's effective. The Word of God is full of energy. It's effective. It makes change in our lives when we heed it. When we heed its wisdom. Question, is your life full of God's energy this morning? Is your life effective? See, God means for you to be full of spiritual energy. You remember Caleb? We're going to talk about Caleb on Father's Day. Some spiritual journey for the fathers. And Caleb was a ripe old age, and he didn't give up. He didn't give an excuse. So here today, no matter what age you are, in our hearts and our minds, and when we even can't get on our knees, we can get on the knees of our heart to pray. God means for your life to be effective. That song you sang, I remember my grandmother loved to sing that song, and it made me think about her and think about how effective she was in my life. When I was just a child and she was older and didn't have much time to be with her. How many of you remember things about your grandparents? You know, we talk about, I can't remember what happened yesterday, but I can remember Grandma. I can remember the encouraging words that were spoken to me. You know, words are important. That's what we're really going to talk about this morning. How important the words are that come into your mouth and into your hearts. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God is working in the lives of those who are sold out to Him. I want to ask you this morning, do you meditate on the Word of God? I'm sure that most of you here probably have a day that you have your devotional time. I really believe that. This is the kind of church that I don't think there's many of you here that don't do that. And it's such a special time to enter into, and I cheat a little bit. I have the pause. Anybody know what the pause app is? it just speaks to you for about 10 minutes and gives you the word and gets you ready to do your devotional. And I enjoy it so much. But do you meditate on the word of God? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And in these last days, whether you come along or not, God is going to raise up His remnant. We need to be part of that remnant in the Word of God. And don't you want to be part of that remnant? God gave His prescription for spiritual success. And then He says, if you do this, you will make your way prosperous and successful. Listen, don't you want to know what God thinks is successful? Doesn't really matter what I think or what you think is successful, but it does matter what God thinks. And temporary success isn't very valuable. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. I've had that kind of success. But I want God's kind of success. Lasting prosperity. You can't be successful in the promised land without God's word. God said, the word of God shall not depart from your mouth. Maybe you can't memorize scripture today, or it's hard for you, but you can have it on your lips, in your heart, meditating on it day and night. See, the devil doesn't think twice about some of you here that maybe you don't have a devotional. Maybe you never get into the word. I doubt there's anyone like that here. But see, God wants you to be armed and dangerous. Monday morning, you need to be armed. We go into the battle this week, and demons should shudder when they hear you come to prayer with your Lord. Armed with the Word of God. I'm talking about real life, about how you live your life every day. Some people would be that the devil would feel real comfortable with them, but God, the devil shouldn't ever be comfortable with you because he knows you have a sword. He should be nervous every time he sees you go to prayer. See, it's time, talking this morning, some were telling how the times that we're in, the conditions of our country, the world, all the pain. It's time for the church of God to stand up. Be prepared for battle. We should be the devil's worst nightmare. You don't just have the word, you are in the word. If you walked out of here today and the devil made a full-blown attack on you or your family, would you be ready this week? Would the devil think twice before he attacked you? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to stand to read this passage. If you're able to stand, God's calling us out to a life of victory. We're going to be overcomers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read these first 7 verses, and then we're going to read verse 13. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. May God add blessing to His word. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we desperately need You, Lord. This morning we pray, God, that You will speak to every heart here. Lord, we need encouragement for next week. We live in a treacherous place. We live in an unholy place. But Lord, You are holy. And Your Holy Spirit surrounds us daily and protects us and guides us and loves us. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Pierce it into our hearts this morning. In the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 13, it says, is our verse for this morning. And look at the end of verse 13. It says, I believed, and therefore I speak. Present tense, first person. Make this personal this morning. As you walk through this life, the mountains that we face, the hills that we have to climb, the battles that we have to fight, even on Monday. I believe and therefore I speak. This is your strategy for victory. I believe and therefore I speak. We now believing, we know that believing is so important. What does speaking have to do with it? What did James say about the mouth? The most powerful instrument in your body is not your arm or your leg, it's your mouth. You have the sword of the Spirit in your hand and the shield of faith in your other hand. And most of this starts out, that's how we start our day, but not even close to being ready. Many times we're not ready. We leave the sword behind and we leave it laying on the desk or on the couch, and the battle begins. God wants you to trust Him every day in every way, but you have to cooperate with Him. Put your armor on. Believing Him. He's the only one that can make you victorious. Don't forget the conditions that He lays out. Now, God has given every believer authority. Do you believe that? He's given us authority. Do you know something? We live in the capital of Delaware, the great state of Delaware. I think we do. Dover? Is this the capital? Well, tomorrow morning, a young man about 22 years old or 23, just out of the police academy, can walk out here on Route 13 in his uniform, just out of school, doesn't know what he's doing, and he can stick up his arm and stop a semi, 80,000-pound semi. Why? Does he have authority? Yes. Is it his authority? Not really. He's there because of all the power of the state of Delaware, the capital of Delaware, is all behind him. And you better do what he says. See, it's that way with us. We may think we're weak. We may think we don't have much power. But we have a connection to a Father. And our Father is greater than anything the world has to offer. Not too long ago, maybe that person that you might know that's very powerful in your life, maybe some of you know people. Do you know people that have a lot of spiritual power that transfers it to you? I mean, when they come in a room, you just want to, they kind of light up the room because they're so positive. It's because they're walking close with the Lord. Do you like that kind of thing? Boy, that's the kind of people we need to be. We need to be a force for God. When you really believe God, not just believe in Him, but believe Him, great things can happen. You remember the church at Laodicea back a couple months ago? We talked about the seven churches. And that Laodicea, they were lukewarm. and they were full of unbelief, and they were full of apathy. See, the reason why many of us are not taking the authority of God that it's given us is that we are turned off to those who abuse and misuse God's authority. I know I do. I get that way. See, if you grew up like I did down in Central Florida, the mindset was that we were definitely Southern Baptists, and we were the First Baptist Church on the corner. And we were so afraid of abusing the power of the Holy Spirit that we just ignored it altogether. You know, Baptists are, you know. I had a friend in high school, and he was a Nazarene. And I got really confused because I'd go to church with him, and he'd come to church with me. And we'd go over to the Nazarene church, and everybody over there raised one hand. I mean, when they'd sing, and the choir would be one hand. That's it. And then I'd go to the Pentecostal church with the other friend, and they'd raise two hands. And then I go to the Baptist church and everybody's sitting on their hands. It was confusing. Can you relate? Is that how you react to the name it? They claim the crowd. They abuse God's authority. So you choose to ignore God's authority. That's how you believe you should respond to the rightful biblical authority that God has given to you. We've seen misuse and abuse, and we're not going to practice it at all. So we just live in defeat. Listen, there will always be someone out in the world abusing and misusing God's principles for his children. The devil makes sure of that. He knows how to render you of no consequence if he can get you to ignore your God-given authority. He knows you're defeated already. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." It's basically saying we are going to eat the fruit of our own lips. Oh, what have you been eating this week? What's been on your lips this week? Because the Word of God says we are eating the fruit of our own lips. What's been on your lips? What comes out of your mouth has deep and lasting consequences in your life. The tongue has the power of life and death. The Bible says we are created in the image of God, and God's words are omnipotent. That means that they're all powerful. When God spoke in Genesis, God spoke and it was so. And he created light and he created darkness. And his word is all powerful. But because we are created in the image of God, his words are omnipotent and our words are potent. They're powerful, but they're not all powerful. Our tongue can be so encouraging, so potent, so helpful. But one reason we don't have the power in our prayer life and calling on God may be because we misuse our tongue many times. God hears every word that we speak. My wife hears them too. I don't hear hers though lately, so I get in trouble. I got this tinnitus going on really bad. We all make excuses, right? God hears our words. He works through vessels of honor. He works through clean vessels. He's in no mood to bless someone who has misused their tongue all week long. And then we come to church in a moment of desperation. We call on him and we give him power. He gives us power in the battle. And he does that when we have a clean tongue. Is your tongue sanctified? See, the devil's smart enough to know when your gun is loaded and when you have blanks in it. And you have no power. You're not a threat to him. Some of you have blamed God for years. Pastor, he just isn't there when I need him. Well, how's your armor? looks a little rusty to me. Are you armed and dangerous? Or are you just doing your own thing? Look at Numbers chapter 13. There's three verses I want to look at here. Numbers 13, verse 31, 32, and 33. We've established that God's words are all powerful. He can speak death and life into anything. Our words are potent. They are powerful, but they're not all powerful. Question, how many relationships here today have been killed by the tongue? I know, bad thoughts, memories, by just words. How many here today have been down and out and someone came up to you and spoke life and encouraging words to you and lifted you above it out of dark, dark waters? I know we have some Barnabases here. I've seen you at work. You know, I really felt good. I took a course one time, and it was about personalities in the Bible, and it was about Jesus being of the authority in the church, and he washed. And what did he do? He washed the feet of the disciples. Jesus on leadership. I've talked about that before. My mind's going. But Jesus on leadership, and he taught us how to do leadership on our knees with a basin, washing the feet. Barnabases, that's what we need. And Jesus, of course, we want to be like Jesus. The power of the spoken word, you're ready to quit, and someone spoke life into your soul. Well, I'm so thankful for those kind of people in my life. Aren't you? Don't you want to be one like that? When you walk in the room, they're like, oh, I'm glad she's here. I'm glad he's here. I need to hear a good word. You're down and out. And here comes that brother, that sister. Your tongue has the power of a life and death to kill or to give life. When Israel was trying to get ready to possess the promised land, the spies came back from the report, and we're going to talk a little bit about that on Father's Day, but James, in James chapter 3, do you know what James chapter 3, and he talks about a ship. He talks about a tongue. And this huge ship he talks about has a little rudder. It's less than 1% of the ship, most likely. It turns that ship, guides it through the harbor. Thank goodness it misses the bridge every once in a while. Israel's getting ready to possess the promised land, and the spies come back and they're giving a report in verse 31. I want you to look at verse 31. And the men said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." In verse 32 it says, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it, all the men of great stature,'" in fact, they were giants and we were scared, "and they spread a bad report." You go out of here today and you spread a bad report. You know, in God's eyes, that's a big problem. Look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Verse 2, "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron." And watch this. I want you to see, because of the power of the tongue, what takes place here. "And they give voice to their vain imaginations and the power of the mouth." And the last part of verse 2, and it says, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt." Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us here in this land? By the sword. That our wives and our children should become victims. Why did he do this? God says, wait a minute. You forgot that I rescued you out of the land of bondage. out of the land of sin and brought you to the land of promise and the land of milk and honey. I can't believe your words. Their imagination ran wild, and our children and our wives will be victims of the plunder. We should go back to Egypt. We should go back to sin. Go back to bondage and slavery. Can't you see the power in that report? Some of you have been walking with the Lord for years and years ago, but you believed a bad report along the way. And you've got back into bondage and slavery. Go to Numbers chapter 14 and go to verse 20. And the Lord replied after Moses went to intercede for them, and I have pardoned according to your word. And God says, I have forgiven them. I have forgiven them as you've asked Moses. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test. Now these 10 different times and I have not heeded, and they have not heeded to my voice. In other words, over and over and over again, they've disobeyed me. And they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall all of those who rejected to see me. See, when you use your mouth in the wrong way, it's a sure way to stand out and stay out of the promised land. You don't think what you say is important. What you say can keep you in the wilderness of life. Words are powerful. The Bible says, those that believed the bad report fell dead in the wilderness. Your mouth can work for you, or it can work against you. But your mouth needs to be ready, to be sanctified, to be set apart for God's service. You never fulfill God's plan for your life with a loose, unbridled tongue, an unsanctified tongue, a dirty tongue. God has chosen to make words powerful. Spoken words are more powerful than the ones that we simply think. Did you know that? You can get by with thinking things, but boy, when you speak them. There's an old saying that says they're like words are like feathers on doorsteps when the wind comes blowing. That's God's rule. He has purpose to His rules. And so you want to have power and authority as God has given you. You must be willing to prepare yourself to open your mouth at the right time with the right words, the words of wisdom from God. And you can't do that unless you've meditated and you've spent time in God's Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. What does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, and this is salvation, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. See, verse 9 tells us that as part of the salvation process, we must confess the Lord Jesus with our mouths. There must be a level of public profession of faith. God knows what we publicly confess makes us far more accountable than a private confession. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. We're not to be ashamed of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20 says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Saying that of a demon at a young boy. And Jesus had just given them the power to do that. In verse 20 it says, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind not only goes out except by prayer and fasting. You know, I had a mountain. I've got a mountain still there. And this week the Lord convicted me. I have a mountain, and I needed to do more than pray. You know, when you fast, you never tell anybody. He said, "Lord, forgive me. I don't want to tell you. I'm not saying I fasted." But the Lord convicted me. Do you think God cares about your mountain this morning? Charles? Yes. Amen. Charles is facing some rough days. I mean, thank God for what modern science can do. But it's still tough, isn't it, Charles? He just told us a lot of the things he has to do. But I just pray God will make it easy for you. I know you got your son sitting right next to you there. He's going to be a great help to you. Thank God for sons and daughters that love you. See, if the mountain doesn't move, God will help you to climb over it, Charles. Matthew 17, verse 21, Jesus says, "However, this kind does not go out except by fasting and prayer." How many mountains have you fasted over lately? There's situations in every family that you have to confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, and then you may have to miss a few meals. But one way or the other, God, if you're obedient to Him, fully trusting Him, He'll get that mountain under your feet. And you better give Him all the glory, because He deserves all the glory. Amen? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Not too much longer now, but how many of you have found yourselves in habitual sin and repented and asked God's forgiveness, and then you find yourself right back where you started? Listen to Paul. He says, "But we have renounced," this is in verse 13 of our text, "we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Look back at that word, renounced. There's a difference in renouncing and repenting. Repentance is turning away, is turning from sin, away from sin and back to God. Pardon and grace and forgiveness. We can be forgiven and full of grace. In a short time, we can be right back in that habitual sin. But one of the keys to victory is right here in this verse. Paul says, "We have renounced the hidden things of shame." Renouncing involves speaking, using your mouth to cast down Satan's hold on your life. And in this bondage of habitual sin, pronounce means to speak out against. It also means to put off. And the Apostle Paul says, put off the old things and put on the new things. And Paul says in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." When you speak out against your sin, even to a friend or a few friends, there's power in the accountability that you have. When we renounce sin, we verbally remove all attachment to that sin. And there's power in accountability. When we renounce sin, we verbally remove all attachment to that sin. Put off the old man and put on the new. So if we speak out loud, it's powerful. We have to conclude that the most powerful words that we can speak are the words of God, the Holy Scriptures. Sharper than a two-edged sword, effective, pulling down of strongholds. The sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. And the Greek word there is rhema, R-H-E-M-A, the spoken word, meaning specific words. Logos is the other word for word, but it implies the complete Word of God. Logos is the entire Word of God. And in the Bible, it usually means the whole Word of God. It's not just a mere name. So we need specific words spoken, invoking God's power in our situation. And the Word of God is powerful. That's why it's important to know the Word of God, to hide the Word of God in your heart. The Word of God, fervent prayer, and heartfelt praise. That's a trinity of power. I know I've had many people tell me that when the devils come after them, they start singing God's praise. We know that works, don't we? David knew about that. And he had a lot of reasons to go to the Lord for forgiveness. But he also went for praise. And he prayed. And he had faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, and therefore I speak." And the word for spirit there is pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. But it also means breath. You could say we have the same breath of faith. God breathed through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the authors of His Word, the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. It's powerful and it pulls down strongholds. And Paul says, "And since we have the same breath of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I speak." Breath indicates life, and God's life breathed into your situation according to the living Word of God. As we believe God's Word in faith, His Word comes alive in us, and we speak the Word of God and the power sharp and the powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, Word of God, and it becomes active in us and for us. Who can stand against the Word of God, the praise of God, and the prayers of God? Paul said, "The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Have you ever been that place? I can remember as a young man, and I just had come up here, it was in the year 2000, to be a pastor. And a friend, a very close friend, was very ill. I couldn't get to them. And I got on my knees, and I was just groaning and groaning. I didn't know what to say. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's how you pray when you don't know what to say. It's out of your heart. Words that can't be uttered. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. It's another subject. Paul said, "I believe, therefore I speak." We inhale the Word of God and we exhale. We speak the Word. That's spiritual breathing. If you visit, musician, if you come, I'll close in just a moment. As they come, I want to just share a couple of verses with you as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Listen, the enemy may have struck you down this week, but you're not destroyed. Verse 13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I speak." Amen. Let's sing.
Stand with me.